Welcome into the Yards After College podcast, powered by KSLSports.com. I'm Kyle Ireland, and with me, as always on the pod, is the one and only Sam Farnsworth, who, I don't know what's happened here, Sam, but in the last month or so, there's just been a resurgence in orange and blue in your life. I see more of it on your social media feeds. I don't know what it is. I thought you were down and out, man. And all of a sudden, the Broncos are one game behind the Chiefs in the playoff race. And all of a sudden, Sam Farnsworth comes out and he's a diehard Bronco fan again. I don't know what happened, because back in October, that was not the case.
Look, I may be down. I am never out. Never out. But I said this before on podcast, my end of changed a bit, evolved, I guess B is a better term, having worked in this industry for as long as I have. You just fan differently, right? So when they're not playing great, it's kind of like, whatever, fine. When they start to win and get you a little bit excited, it's like, okay, I can get behind this. So I am not a fair weather fan. I'm just going to put that out there. I am there from bad to good and good to bad. And right now, it's just really fun because they are, you know, another fun thing about being a Bronco fan is watching teams like the Raiders and Chiefs struggle. And so when you see the Chiefs kind of fumble things up like they did on Sunday, and you see the Broncos creeping up on their heels, I'll tell you what, that certainly makes it a lot more fun to be a Bronco fan right now.
So, like, this is crazy. So the Broncos lose to the Chiefs earlier in the season, back in like the middle of October. Then they win five in a row before they lose to the Texans. That was a close game. It was one score game, and it was on the road. And then they beat the Chargers, who, let's be honest, the Chargers are going to have a new head coach next year because they're terrible, and now their quarterback is hurt for the second time this year. So, I mean, you're in the mix, right? You're ahead of the Raiders. You're ahead of the Chargers, and reigning Super Bowl champions, game out right there. That's something, Sam.
Look, and, watching Patrick Mahomes slam his helmet on the ground, watching him complain about a penalty that was clearly a penalty, watching him, you know, get in the post game handshake with his opposing quarterback instead of saying good game, saying, man, can you believe they called that? We got hosed on that. You know, watching all of that brings me great joy.
your fandom aside, let's talk about this real quick. I don't want to belabor the point, but if you're not a Broncos fan or a fan of any of the AFC West teams, are you sitting there looking at that and thinking, because like I'm on the side where I kind of was like surprised that Mahomes and Andy Reid were so staunch in like their takes last night, because like you can clearly see that it was a penalty. But I thought it was interesting. Dan Orlovsky of ESPN put out a video today. I think it was from NFL Today, where he broke down how many times throughout the game Tony had lined up offsides. And they've been calling it this year quite a bit, that offensive offsides. But the fact that like it had happened multiple times throughout the game and they hadn't called it previously, to call it in that spot, I thought was interesting. Like, looking at it in hindsight, because like in the moment, I didn't realize that he had been offsides that many times throughout the game. But it's just like Tony, one, robbed us of one of the greatest plays I've ever seen by Travis Kelce. And then the fact that like the refs were like, hey, in their post game, you know, Q&As with the media, were like, yeah, like it was an egregious penalty. Like, we're going to call it. We couldn't see the ball, all that stuff. So like, let me get your take on it. Like, were the refs in the wrong for not warning Tony if he had already committed that same foul multiple times throughout the game and they hadn't called it previously? Like, should they have given him a warning, called it earlier in the game if it had happened beforehand, instead of waiting until that moment? And then Tony probably, if he's been warned or penalized earlier in the game, doesn't make that same mistake in that situation. He's probably off a few inches, right? Or is it just on Tony because he made a mistake? It's obviously a foul, and Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes comments aside, like it is what it is.
So look, I don't know what the communication was like throughout the game. I don't know who does outside of the players and the referees themselves. If the refs had been warning him several times throughout the game, saying, "Hey, man, you keep lining up awfully close, or you're lining up over the line, you've got to move it back. You got to move it back." If they've been warning him several times, hey, he's asking for it. Now, I don't know if they had been warning him or not. The fact of the matter is, in the NFL, in college, in every league of football, they usually do a pretty good job at communicating, both between the receiver and the ref, and vice versa. The ref will usually say something like, "Hey, 17 or 18 or whatever your number is, you got to back up a little bit, back up a little bit." But that's why you always see when a receiver lines up, you always see him point over, look over at the referee to make sure they're on or off the line, depending on how they're supposed to be lined up. And so, look, I don't know what the communication was like, but it's hard to argue against a flag being thrown on something that was a blatant penalty, right? It is what it is. Penalties shouldn't be subjective. They should be called when the rules are broken. Unfortunately, a great play was wiped off the board. But I'll give the ref this. He threw the flag before the pass was thrown. He threw the flag as soon as the ball was snapped. So
Right.
it's not like he was intentionally trying to erase an amazing play and keep the Chiefs out of the end zone. He was throwing the flag because he saw it and he did it immediately. So that leads me to believe that there had already been some pre-existing communication going on throughout the game between the two. And maybe he had just had enough. Like, "Look, you're doing it again. I'm throwing the flag this time." Whether that was the case or not, I'm not totally sure. But, and I'll say this about Andy Reid, his post-game comments. I think a lot of times coaches will say what they say in post-game comments because they are there taking the side of their player. Coaches always do that in every sport. That's why you see a manager go running out of the dugout and screaming at an umpire and getting ejected, even if the umpire was in the right. That's why you see coaches in basketball storming onto the court and losing their cool and getting teed up. And you see it in the NFL too. And I think Andy Reid is defending his quarterback. Whether Andy believes what he said or not, I don't know. But I know one thing, he's defending his quarterback. Patrick Mahomes' comments were just like ridiculous, if you ask me. It's like, come on, Patrick. It's not like you don't get to choose the ones that are called against you and the ones that aren't, So, wild Sunday, definitely the hot topic in the NFL this weekend. But again, it means a Chiefs loss and a Broncos win. Now there's only one game separating the two.
I love it. Yeah, I'm a little bit, I like the Chiefs and I want them to succeed because I think that it's better for football. I think having Mahomes in the playoffs and, Travis Kelce and like they're good for football. It's fun to watch all that stuff. So I understand where you're coming from a Broncos perspective. I do think that, like, I agree with the penalty. I think that it should be called. And I guess what I would advocate for is I want consistency. So if that play is happening like that multiple times throughout the game, like I'm fine with like a warning at the beginning. But if he's done that 5 times throughout the game, like he should be penalized for it 5 times. Like just because a pass interference, happens on like the final play of a game doesn't mean that it shouldn't be called because you're quote unquote letting him play. Like I think that like if it's a blatant foul, like you have to call it whether or not it's like, zeros on the clock or it's, 14 minutes left in the first quarter. Like you have to officiate the game consistently. And I think that that's probably looking back on it, that's what I would be frustrated most if I was a Chiefs fan. But I do think that, the refs, they have the right to throw that flag if they see a foul and they clearly did. So yeah, interesting conversation around the NFL about that Chiefs Bills game. And it seems like those two teams always, they're right in the thick of it with, one score games, whether it's, in Buffalo or in Kansas City, playoffs or not. So it'd be fun if we saw a matchup in the postseason. Who knows how that's gonna play out. But Sam, we had a crazy week, like you said. I mean, the locals in the NFL, man, they just continue to tear it up. I don't know why I am surprised anymore. Like it's been so consistent this season. But this week in particular, we had some just crazy storylines, and I feel like we should get started with Probably Zach Wilson, just because of the week that he had. Obviously gets benched, 3 weeks ago. Comes out that, the Athletics reporting that he doesn't want to play for the team. He's reluctant to take the field if they want him to start again. They cut Tim Boyle. They ask him to start. He ends up playing yesterday against the Texans, and the Jets win in a rout. CJ Stroud gets hurt in that game late, but didn't look good, throughout the time that he was on the field. Also a number two overall pick in the draft. And Zach Wilson clearly outplayed him, especially in the second half. He was on fire and had a career game. You put it out on X last night, the stats that he had, career highs as far as like completion percentage and passer rating. But what did you see different from him, Sam? Because like we talked about him earlier in the season, I think it was week four, if I'm not mistaken, or somewhere around there, where they played the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football. And he kind of had that, like, I don't know if I'm going to say breakout performance, but everybody was a bit about to write him off for good before that game. Then he comes out, plays, pretty well against the Chiefs on a primetime game. They end up losing the game really close, but, everything was still kind of in front of the Jets at the time, but then they have a 5-game losing streak and everything that's happened since then, plus everything that's happened in the past 2.5 years. What did you see from Zach Wilson that was different on Sunday than has been, what he's put on the field previously?
I think I saw a lot of I don't care anymore, right? From Zach, which is what we've needed to see. Like, I feel like he went out there and he's like, you know what? I don't care anymore. There's like zero pressure at this point. He's already agreed, and the team has already agreed to move him in the offseason, according to reports. He's been through the ringer, and it's just like, you know what? It doesn't matter what I do for good or for bad anymore with this franchise because I'm moving on. I'm moving on and I'm going to have a new life. And I thought the way he played reflected that kind of attitude on the football field on Sunday. And my goodness, boy, was he just was so carefree. He was lights out. He was playing that way that we've been talking about on this podcast all season long. We want to see him play that way, where he's just out there, just able to sling it, just have fun, just kind of get out of his own mind, just play the football that he knows how to play. And he was making some great throws. My goodness. And, it helps that. And I have not been on the train of pointing the fingers at the New York Jets wide receivers for all their drops this year. They have had a lot, but Zach can still be better, even when they're dropping the ball. But his receivers did a great job on Sunday too. Every difficult pass seemed to have been caught in that game. So, man, it was outstanding to watch him play the way he did. It was a lot more fun. It seemed like he was having a lot more fun. And I'll tell you what, it wouldn't it be interesting if this is kind of how he plays to end the rest of the season, if he and the Jets, if they kind of reverse course on their stance on whether they want to move him or not, trade him or not, according to the reports we've been hearing, right? But I think for Zach, it should be a done deal. Play great the rest of the year, but then go, get out. It's been too toxic for too long. But it would be kind of interesting if the Jets, if he continued this type of play, if the Jets said, "Hey, you know what? We do want to keep you around for this next year and pick up that fifth year option."
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's over and done with after this season. It's not good for the team at this point. It's not good for Zach anymore. And so why try and fight something that's just going to continue to be an uphill battle until it's not? And in that environment with that organization and everything that has gone on with them forever, pretty much, it's kind of something where I don't think it's good for Zach long term for his career. And seems like the Jets probably just want to focus on Aaron Rodgers next year anyway. And so why pick up if you're going to pay a guy that, may or may not be your quarterback again in a year? Who knows, right? But I do think that I agree with you there. He was smiling. He was having fun again. He had that pro day type throw that he had at BYU where, throws across his body after rolling out. It was fun to see him kind of look like old Zach Wilson. He looked like 2020 Zach Wilson yesterday. And that was pretty cool to see. But Sam, let's do a little rapid fire of your three stars. What do you say? Let's take a break and then we'll hit your three stars.
Let's do it.
All right, welcome back to the Yards After College podcast, powered by KSLSports.com. And as always, brought to you every week by our one and only Sam Farnsworth. I say we reveal your 3 stars of the week for what was a packed and loaded week of performances for the local players in week 14.
Let's do it, Kyle. We'll start off, as you said, rapid fire. Here we go. Number three.
Third star.
Yeah, my third star is Nephi Sewell. What a game he had for the Saints on Sunday. The best play, obviously, the play of the game was the one that he created. Going in and blocking that punt was just outstanding, which resulted in a recovery for a touchdown for the Saints. So, Nephi Sewell, major credit to him for just everything he's done to become NFL relevant and valuable to his team. And he showed it on Sunday with that blocked punt.
Yeah, it's nice to see Nephi Sewell, making some of these like impactful plays like he did in college at Nevada and Utah, obviously. But to be able to like make an impactful play like that on special teams, I feel like that's the type of thing that helps earn you like defensive snaps, right? Like he continues to ball out on special teams. Like he's gonna find more reps and more playing time on the defensive side of things as a linebacker there with the Saints. And obviously, it doesn't help or it doesn't hurt. That is, when you're playing the Carolina Panthers, who have only won one game.
That is true. Okay, number two star.
Star.
This guy, man, he is going to get paid this offseason in free agency, but Bears cornerback Jalen Johnson, you look at the stat sheet, and we talked about this before. You look at the stat sheet every week, and sometimes there's just not very many numbers next to his name, but that's because as a cornerback, if there's not a lot of numbers next to your name, you're doing your job. They're trying to stay away from you completely. He only had one tackle in the game, but he also had a big interception for the Bears in the game. And tell you what, with every interception he gets this season, he's just adding more zeros to the end of that contract that he's going to get this offseason. But Jalen Johnson, he deserves the recognition this week as my number two star.
Yeah, he's what's interesting about him, Sam, is that ball hawk kind of mentality that he's had in a contract year where he wasn't, recording a lot of interceptions through the first few seasons of his NFL career. And if I'm not mistaken, that was his fourth yesterday. I can't remember. I believe it was his fourth for the season. And I just to be able to like go out to where he was requesting a trade back right before Halloween. The Bears don't honor that, obviously. They're probably going to try and, make something work with him in the offseason, is my guess. It's hard to get a good shutdown corner, especially one who's young like Jalen is. And for him to be putting out what he's been putting out in a contract year is just, it's outstanding. He's one of those guys that we've talked about this before. You don't really want to hear your name a lot when you're a cornerback because that means you're getting the ball thrown at you and stuff. And you don't hear Jalen Johnson's name that often unless he's, making a turnover type play like he did on Sunday, which is a good thing because he didn't allow any completions against him yesterday. The passer rating against Jalen Johnson was zero yesterday. And that's what you want from your cornerbacks. And so props to him for continuing to play really well this season.
Pretty sure he's in the top five in the NFL for passer ratings against, which like you said, that's a great thing for a cornerback, and that's the reason why he'll get paid. All right, let's do it. Number one star.
Star.
All right, so the number one star, of course, is Jets quarterback Zach Wilson. To go through everything that he has gone through this season, the turbulence that he's experienced the past few weeks, from being a backup at the beginning of the year to a future Hall of Famer, 4 snaps later becoming the starting quarterback again for the Jets, having several weeks of up and down play, being demoted, not only demoted, but dropped from the active game day roster. And then suddenly being asked, okay, we need you back in the starting lineup again. You could understand every reason why he might not have wanted to start in this game, but he not only came out and started, he had his third career 300-yard game. He had a career high passer rating, career high completion percentage. Zach Wilson did everything he needed to do and should have done. He balled out. He played great. He's my number one star this week.
Can't remember where I saw it, Sam. Maybe you'll have this. But I believe it was out of his 300-yard games that he's had. That was the first of the three that came in a victory. And the other two were, obviously not this season, but there's something to be said about that kind of mantra, I guess, that the Jets have been speaking of, Zach's been speaking of, whatever. where like go out there and let it rip. And it felt like that changed at halftime yesterday because it was a 0-0 game at halftime. And then they come out in the second half, they put 30 points up on the scoreboard and blow out the Texans, right? But it almost felt like, I don't know if it was Nathaniel Hackett or what happened, you know, with the play calling in the second half, but it really felt like that's kind of where the game switched was at halftime. Something was said, something was tweaked, changed in the game plan, whatever. Maybe something was said to Zach Wilson, like, hey, like, you know what? We're gonna take the training wheels off, like, which is amazing that like we're still even like talking about that being a possibility, right? Like, 'cause that I feel like was something that was said in the first month of the season. It's like before you even bench him in the first place, like that's what should have been done, right? Like the training wheels should have been taken off, the handcuffs off, whatever. To be able to go out there, Sam, and kind of play free like he did, I think that that's like the biggest thing that I saw from him. And I hope that that continues throughout the rest of this season. As always, Sam, 3 stars are great. I feel like, you know, once we get them sponsored, whether it be by Mountain Dew or somebody else, the 3 stars are really going to take off with the people because I enjoy them every week. I look forward to it. And I know that the people listening to the podcast do as well. But before we go, Sam, I feel like right now is a good time to bring up Kyle's fun fact of the week. And
Yes.
this is a guy who continues to tear it up. He's not finding the end zone as much as I would prefer just because he's so fun to watch. I want to see him score a little bit more. And we've said this in the past, but it's Puka Nacua, rookie from BYU and Orem High School. He just continues to play spectacularly, Sam. I mean, what he is doing is historical. He continues to play really well for the Rams, who played a really tight game against the Ravens yesterday on the road. Didn't end up coming out with the victory as they lost in overtime. But I have got this fun fact of the week for you here. And as part of it, I've got a question for you as well, a little Q&A. So
Right.
in week 14, Sam, Puka Nacua became a member of a historic group of receivers. This is courtesy of NFL.com. So Nacua became the fourth player in the Super Bowl era to start the first 13 games of his NFL career with 1,100 plus receiving yards. Okay. So one of four receivers now with 1,100 plus receiving yards in the first 13 games. Can you name the other three wide receivers, Sam?
For 1,100 in the first 13 games. Okay. Is Megatron on the list?
He is not. I was surprised by
Oh.
that as well. I thought he was going to be up there. No, Calvin Johnson is not one of them.
Okay. It is. Who is the guy with the Ravens? Why can't I think of his name?
Currently with the Ravens? Because
No,
there's
no, no.
two on here who have played for the Ravens.
Played for the Ravens and the Cardinals, and I can't think of
Correct.
his name.
Had an amazing career, especially with the Cardinals.
Yes. Go ahead.
Anquan Boldin, you're
Anquan
correct.
Boldin. That
Yeah.
that's the name. Yes, that's who I was thinking of. All right, Anquan Boldin is one. Another one. All right. Well, you know what? I'm not going to sit here.
I'll give you a
Yeah,
hint. I'll give you a hint.
give me a hint. Give me a
He
hint.
currently plays for the Ravens.
Oh wow, that's
It's OBJ, man. Odell Beckham Jr. Back with
Oh
the
gosh, I
Giants.
yeah, of course, Odell. It's like he's been good this year, but he's been very quiet, obviously, you know, and it's just like I almost forget that he's even on their
No,
team.
you're good. The thing with Odell is he started off his career with like such an amazing like hot streak that the injuries have really hampered him because he's still a really good wide receiver. He's just, I think had he not been injured the way that he was, you know, ACL tears with the Browns and then also with the Rams in the Super Bowl, it's kind of where he's a veteran guy now and gets lost in the shuffle. But yeah, Odell was amazing even as a young player. But and then probably, I don't know, I would say he's probably the second best wide receiver of all time is the third on the list, Sam.
Randy Moss.
Randy Moss. Randy Moss is the other one. So Puka Nacua joins Odell Beckham Jr., Anquan Boldin, and Randy Moss as the only players in Super Bowl era with 1,100 plus receiving yards in their first 13 career games. So pretty elite group to be a part of. Those guys are all Hall of Fame caliber guys. So yeah, awesome from Puka Nacua. So my last thought for week 14 before I kind of turn my attention to week 15. I just am so impressed, Sam, with the local guys. Like it really is impressive the impact that they're having on like a NFL wide level. Like it's not just like people are tuning into KSL Sports Live on Sunday nights and you know we're talking about, you know, so such and such player who had four tackles and that was it. You know, like we care on a local level, but like these guys are making plays where, you know, national podcasts are recapping the week in the NFL and they're talking about guys like Puka Nacua, who are now, you know, a star NFL player as a rookie. It's pretty fun to watch. And then tonight we've got Jordan Love on Monday Night Football against the Giants. He's probably going to throw for four touchdowns against that team. And I don't know. It's fun to see. Sam, my game of the week for week 15 of the season, which is, it's kind of weird, Sam, because this is the time of year where we get the Saturday games thrown into the mix. And that just, I like it because then we get more football throughout the week, right? Like, or not more football, but we get more days of football, that is, throughout the week. But it does kind of just throw a wrench into things when I'm covering Jazz games and also college basketball games in the mix. It makes things a little bit more complicated. But we have some fun and exciting games. And I'm going to say my game of the week is on Sunday afternoon. It's the Cowboys versus the Bills. You've got the Bills coming off a big win against the Chiefs on the road. You've got the Cowboys who are coming off just a dominant performance against the Eagles, who have lost back-to-back games and dramatic, dramatic blowouts. And I'm interested to see, are the Bills for real? Are they going to continue to make a playoff push? If they win, they get to 8-6. Cowboys, they're 10-3, and they kind of Cowboys continue to kind of need to win, even though they beat the Eagles, because the Eagles, I think they play the Giants a couple times and like the Cardinals throughout the rest of the season. So Philly's schedule is a little bit easier. But Dallas, I mean, they look awesome right now, and probably behind the 49ers or the next, you know, closest favorite to win the Super Bowl, I would say. So do you have a game of the week, Sam?
I do. I do. That's a good one that you picked. The Ravens Jaguars Sunday night game is a good one. I love these Saturday games. I love this time of year when there's Saturday NFL, and don't call me a homer here, but the Broncos and Lions game is my game of the week that I'm interested in, the Saturday night game, the NFL network. And the reason being is for some of the things we talked about earlier in this podcast, the Broncos are surging. They're right on the Chiefs' heels, and the Lions are kind of reeling. Are they like pretenders all of a sudden? Are they not the team that maybe we thought they were? So we're going to learn a lot about both those teams on Saturday night.
Hey, my team's 7-6. They're also playing Saturday morning. Our teams are now with the same record, Sam, and they're both fighting for a wild card spot. Hey, yours is actually fighting for a division, where mine is.
Yes.
I think the Jags have it kind of wrapped up, but we're in the home stretch officially. We've got, what is it, 4 weeks left of the regular season. And big games every single week. These all matter for every single team, pretty much, unless you are basically the Carolina Panthers. That's if you're not the Carolina Panthers this season, you got decent outlook on things. But I'm excited for that Saturday as well, Sam. I'll be watching your Broncos and Lions. I'll be watching it because
it'll be a good one.
I think it'll be a good game. The Lions, their defense is not good. Their offense is awesome, but you can score on that team. And the Broncos have been better offensively lately, and their defense has really just been pretty dominant since they were terrible against the Dolphins earlier on in the season. So what can you tease for us, Sam, on KSL Sports Live this week? I know we've got bowl games coming up here in a couple of weeks, but we're, you know, kind of in the thick of it with college basketball now as well.
Yeah, it's going to be a big NFL weekend and a hoops weekend for us on KSL Sports Live for sure. And then we'll dip back into the college football the following week when those bowl games come around.
Nice. You can follow Sam, as always, on KSL 5 TV. Watch him and JJ. They have an amazing show every single night, but also on the weekends you get Sunday night's my favorite just because it's the locals in the NFL. I appreciate it. Tune in at, I tune in at 10 o'clock for my little tease. I like the little teaser at locals in the NFL segment, and I stay on for the later portion where I get the full NFL breakdown, Sam. But follow Sam on social media as well at Samsworth underscore TV. You can follow me at Kyle Ireland and at Kyle Ireland KSL. I got weird handles, Sam. I should just go uniform like you, where I have the same thing across the board. But you can follow us all on kslsports.com and make sure you download the KSL Sports app where you can listen to this podcast. You can listen to our podcast as well as read articles from the show and everything about basically every team in the state of Utah. You can find it on the KSL Sports app. But until next week, Sam, this has been the Yards After College podcast powered by kslsports.com.